All right.
I have a lot to talk to you here about. If you would, go ahead and be seated, seated, seated. I've got a lot to give to you here today. Thank you. Thank you. Take your Bibles, if you would. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke 2. Luke 2. And while you're going to Luke 2, if you heard me, you just don't want to go to class later. I know what it is, okay? We were here. I get it. You don't even know who I am. Luke 2. You're not that excited to hear from God's word, or you would have had devotions this morning, right? All right, Luke 2. Luke 2. I'm supposed to be nice. I have to be nice. Luke 2. But I do want to say thank you to the college. Thank you for the invite. Only God can make things like this work out. I was scheduled a year and a half ago. Missions conference was not scheduled for this week. Right? I just heard Pastor Wilkerson last night. It was shifted because of the servants conference and such. But God obviously wanted me to be here at this point. God's awesome. He is just so cool. Thank you for the invite. I thank God for making it work out. I thank you for the basket and stuff that y'all gave, the food, the meal. Everything was just phenomenal. I thank you very much. The love gift for the mission and all of that. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for all that you've done. Luke chapter number 2, Luke 4, I'm sorry. I truly want to challenge you here today. I really extremely burdened that we have had the gospel here in America for so long. And we have more Bible colleges in our country than any other country. We have more Christian college graduates than any other country. And by the way, at any other time in the history of our nation, we have more Bible colleges with Bible college students. However, we're still missing the mark. We are really missing the mark. I love Brother Wilkerson's statement. We are, First Baptist is far above average, but far below God's plan. And I believe that our colleges are the same, and I beg you to listen and to be attentive. I know everyone won't. I get it. But I hope that God will stir many of your hearts. Luke chapter number 4. I got to put my glasses on here. By the way, for those of you that eliminated yourself from that scholarship, I had eliminated myself before you guys even. That percentage, what in the world? Man, what are they trying to knock us all out? But my goodness. But anyhow, I thought, all right. I did finish. Did finish. Won't necessarily tell you what all the grades were, but I did finish, all right? Thank God for summer classes. You're guaranteed that C, amen? At least we were then. Here we go. Luke 4, and I want you to follow along here. Luke 4, and I want to start here. I'm going to skip through just a little bit, but verse number 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Of course, hear the teaching of his word. His word was with power, of course. In the synagogues there was a man which had the spirit of unclean devils, cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the devils had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed, spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. I want you to notice that it went out in every place of the country round about. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And of course, he has the healing here of Simon's mother-in-law, Peter. And now we go down through here. And when the sun was setting, I want you to look here. Verse number 39, he stood over her, of course, that healing there. And now, verse 40, and now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with diverse diseases brought him unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. You know that songwriter that writes, this comes to mind when I read this verse, the songwriter that says, you know, if all the oceans were ink and all the sky a parchment, right? If we were all scribes by trade, we could not even contain or write the love of God. This verse here is amazing to me. Because it talks here, it says that, and when the sun was setting, of course we know when the sun sets, right, in the evening, they had been bringing sick and people that needed to be healed to Jesus, and then he healed every single one of them, casting out devils. Folks, I know here in America you don't see this a lot, but you know there's not a week, I promise you there's not a week that goes by overseas where there's not a mama or a daddy or someone that comes to us and says, my little one, the last time it was an 8-year-old little boy, said he's possessed of devils. Can you help him? This still happens all over the world. All over the world. But anyway, he heals. He does a great work all evening. And then look here at verse number 41. Devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak. And they knew that he was Christ. Who knew it? The devils knew it, right? Now look at verse number 42. And when it was day. Now it doesn't take a rocket scientist here, right, to figure this out. He started in the evening. And how long did he heal and do great marvelous miracles? Until when? He pulled an all-nighter, right? He pulled an all-nighter. He worked and worked and served those people. When it was day, day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. You see that word stayed, right? They tried to keep him. They tried to restrain him. Here he did all of that for all of those people and healed and healed and cast out devils all night long. How much more could he have done? He was up all day, then he's up all night providing and healing and serving them. Then he leaves to go apart, tries to get away. They follow after him and try to restrain him, saying there's many more people, there's a lot more, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. Father, I pray that you'd help here today, challenge hearts, stir hearts. Help them, Lord, to never forget your command and what you've told us to do. Love you so very much, and I need you now. Please use your words to speak to these young people. And boy, Lord, this is our future, Lord, what to reach the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you would, and go over to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Don't forget that. We're going to get back to that, but Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, I want you to look at verse number 35. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about, what's the next word there? I want you to not forget that. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he all unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. I think this is very unique. And by the way, Bible teachers and such here, I'd love for you to share with me if I am wrong in this statement. But if you go through the New Testament and you look and see of all the things that Jesus, by the way, all the people that came to Jesus and asked him for miracles and asked him for healing and everything that he asked of them, and then the commands and different things that Jesus did, but we have here what I can find. Once he asked the disciples to pray with him in the garden for an hour, right? And we know how that ended. He asked the disciples to pray with him, but he didn't tell them what to pray for. He just said, pray with me. But here we have that I can find the single prayer request that Jesus asked us to pray for in the New Testament. The single prayer request. He didn't give us a lengthy list. We all have lengthy lists for him. We're constantly praying prayers. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, but Jesus gave us a prayer request. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. But most of us struggle even praying for his prayer request. Yeah, help us. Just a prayer request. Why did he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. But the purpose was so that we get more laborers to spread it, because he said, let's get to all cities, all villages, all places. We've got to get to all of them. I can't help but to think that when they were trying to stay Jesus or hang on to him and hold him back, they were saying, Jesus, there's more people that need healed. There's more people that need to hear about you. Jesus, everybody hasn't trusted you yet. As they were saying that, I believe Jesus was kind of looking with a glazy eye past them, or maybe over their shoulder, saying, but look at those cities. But look at those villages. But they haven't heard anything yet. At least I spent all night here. I spent all day with you all. Many of you have been, your lives have been just transformed. It's your job. Now I got to get to the next city. I got to get to the next place because they haven't heard yet. And he said, that's what I was sent for. Jesus said, that's why I was sent. I want to give you some fast things. I know my time's going to be short, but he went about all the cities and villages. He did not settle down in only one. Jesus was continually on the go. But when he did see the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. By the way, what is compassion? Compassion's not pity. Pity, I've heard people say, well, that's pity. No, it's not pity. Pity, you can feel sorry for somebody without doing anything about it. I have pity for that person, but compassion is being moved to action. He had compassion. He didn't just have pity. He had compassion and said, we've got to go there. We've got to get there. Whatever it takes, we got to get there. Compassion. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he asks, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. You know, the same problem they had then is the same problem we have today. The same problem. They had a plenteous harvest and few laborers. Plenteous harvest, few laborers. Jesus told us the harvest truly is plenteous. Honestly, college students, I pastored for 20 years. I preached from that passage many a times. You've read it many of times. I honestly didn't believe it. I really didn't. Because I've gone soul winning. I worked on Bible club, worked on bus route. And you knock on doors, and you do have people come to Christ, don't you? And it's a wonderful thing. All of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. It's a great thing to have a sinner. But honestly, I've never seen them falling off the branches. I've not seen them fall off the branches. Until I started traveling and going to third world countries. And when we started getting back into these bush areas where there's no road, there's no access other than putting on a backpack and hiking for days or hours and hours and hours, swimming rivers and getting there, and then you preach the gospel and literally they fall off the branches. And finally I said, wow, now I see what you were talking about. The fields truly are white. They're truly white. Not that we're not supposed to still go sow anywhere you are. I'm not saying that at all. But the fields are white, and Jesus told us they were, and he told us to pray for laborers because those fields are white. Could I stay here? Could I stay here and feel as if I was okay in God's will? Pastored for 20 years. But when I started hearing things like there's over a billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus one single time. You know, when you all were singing the different songs that we were singing and we're talking about the great story and all that he's done for us, and boy, he's washed our sins away. It doesn't matter. You take the hymn book and you open it up and look at it. We sing, I heard an old, old story. But it's not an old, old story. It's old to us. But you know, there's over a billion people that have never heard it once. It's not even a new story for them. They've never heard it. They've never even heard that Jesus healed the sick. Never even heard about it. Never in their minds can they even comprehend it. Sometimes we show a film and we'll show people in these villages in their native tongue, and we'll try to help them understand who Jesus is, and it starts from creation and goes through everything, Abraham, and it just gives a quick snapshot, but we show that film and people will get angry and mad and they'll turn around and they'll throw stuff on the ground like that and walk away when Pilate's and they're bringing misjudgment to him. And they'll say, that's not fair. Why would you treat, he didn't do anything wrong. And they'll want to walk away like a bad movie when we watch it and we say, that's stupid, I don't even want to finish it. They'll start walking away. You have to stop them and say, hold on. You haven't seen the rest of the story yet. You've never seen it. Their minds just shot that God was willing to send his son. When you hear that over a billion people have never heard the gospel once, folks, to understand, that's like taking whatever stadium sporting event that you like. Most stadiums are typically under 70,000, but 70,000 people a day die without Christ, and not just die without Christ, but they've never heard once. You fill a stadium every day, and they've never heard Jesus' name. Doesn't seem fair. That just doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem right to me. And I felt, could I stay? The title of my message was How God Called Me to Missions, but really then I crossed it out because, you know, God really didn't call me to missions, just like God really didn't call me to be a pastor. I came to college here planning on being a chiropractor. I was already ready going to chiropractic school. I was going to be a doctor, and my parents and my counselor said, why don't you go for just 1 year? Many of you probably heard that statement. Why don't you go for just 1 year? And I went for a year, and I saw a purpose bigger than just helping people feel good while they lived here on earth. And I thought, man, I can make them feel good for a while, but man, it would be better if it was for an eternity. So 1 year turned to two, and two to three, And then about that time, Dr. Curtis Hudson preached from right here. I remember him barely being able to stand because he was dying of cancer. I remember him preaching and just hanging on to this so tight because he was just so uneasy. And they helped him back to the seat. And he died just a couple months later.
At that pastor's school, I remember them saying, who's going to help take his place? You know, God didn't call me then either. I volunteered. I said, well, I'm no Curtis Hudson, but I guess I could try to help a little bit. And I volunteered, and then I pastored for 20 plus years, so you can't say you can't volunteer and God won't use you. I know, I've heard all the stories. We have to have some certain magnificent calling. Really? Really? 20 plus years pastoring and God did amazing things. Thousands and thousands of people come to Christ there in the Northeast. God did great work. Our missions exploded. And then we go, God says, can you stay here and feel good about yourself? And I couldn't. And God said, I've not called you, but I'm going to move you to missions. I'm going to move you into another area. And that's exactly what God has been doing and still doing. But let me just keep going. As I studied the Bible, I saw many statements in the Bible, and you will know these, such as all nations, all the world, to every creature, every kindred, every tongue, and every people, to the uttermost part of the earth. The gospel we have is to be given to the world. It's to be given to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. Every people. We have got to get the gospel. Christ commanded us to do it. I heard Brother Spear, I don't know if he's still here, but I heard Brother Spear made a statement this past week, but phenomenal. I'm so glad. And you got so much better preaching this week on missions, I'm sure, than me. But I'm what you got now, so here we go. But Brother Ted, I loved it. Don't sit around waiting for a calling. You've already been given a command. We don't need a calling. We've gotten a command. Well, I'll go if I get called. No, just, you've got a command already. Go. Go. Well, I got to have a mission board. No, you don't. I don't know if there's any FBMI guys that might get mad at me in here. That's not what the Bible teaches. Go. Now, there may be some wisdom here or there, but come on. Go. Let's worry about going. Go. A bit ago, we just read Luke 4. Jesus went to all the cities. You know, he went for hours and he taught and he gave. He went from town to town. The people went looking for him, as I said, and then he said, no, I've got to get to the next city. Do you know that at one point, the whole part of Africa, northern Africa, was once evangelized with the gospel? In fact, think about it here with me for a minute. Who was it? The Ethiopian eunuch, right? Who went to the Ethiopian eunuch? And he went to give him the gospel, right? And what country was he from? It's not deep, is it? Ethiopia's in Africa. Africa, the whole northern section all across Africa was dotted with great churches at one time. You know what they say happened? Churches began to bicker and fight about little stuff. And they weren't going anymore to new villages. And they weren't spreading the gospel to new places. And because of that, slowly but surely, the churches began to die off, and the Muslims moved in. And you know, now, if you look across the entire northern section of Africa, all the way across from east to west, you'll see Muslim, predominantly Muslim. America, churches all over the place, dotted all over, starting to die off, and the Muslims are getting stronger. Because we're fighting over little stuff and we're not getting to the next city with the gospel. That's what God told us to do. You know, there's a legend told when Jesus went back to heaven. He dies on the cross. He goes back to heaven. The angels meet him and say, Jesus, good job. You guys can picture this. Jesus, good job. We were ready to come. All you had to do was just nod. Legions of us, we would have come.
Songwriter says it, right? 10,000 angels. But he says, oh, but you did good. You're back. Everything's great. Now what's your plan, Jesus? Did you leave a big organization to spread the gospel? Did you leave some big, well-established organization to take the gospel everywhere? He said, no, I left it with a small band of believers. And I told them to go everywhere. Okay, Jesus, that's a good idea. Plan A, what about plan B? In case they fail. And Jesus says, no, there's no plan B. There's only plan A. I left them in charge to take the gospel. You know, we're missing it. We're missing it. Many millions will one day march in front of us in heaven and point a finger and say, no man cared for my soul. No man cared for me. I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay personally. God began to tear my heart out, and we began to travel. When a president or when a king or a queen says, hey, we need volunteers for our land, to protect our land, you know, tens of thousands go and volunteer. Ernest Shackleton, you all know the story. When he asked for people, you'd probably never return. Low wages, you'll probably never live. And he had more than he could take. But when King Jesus says, I need you to go to the world. I need you to go to the hard to reach places. You know, David Livingston said, if you say I'm willing to go if there's a good road, he said, I don't need you. I don't need you. I need you to be willing to go if there's no road at all. And that's it right there. The fields are white unto harvest where there's no roads at all. I'm going to have to wrap it up with this thought right here. Disciples, will you come help me? I'm hoping you'll remember this illustration. Quick, disciples. Do you have the stuff? Pass it out. Come up here real fast. Aaron, can you help me with that stuff? Do we have the bag? You have the bag? You have it all. Good. All right. Real fast. Listen here. Jesus, when he was feeding the 5,000, you all know the story, right? By the way, it's the only, hold one second. I mean, I said it wrong. Hold on. Just stop right where you are, disciples. I kind of halfway said go ahead, but hold on. When he was feeding the 5,000, by the way, it's the only miracle in all four Gospels other than the resurrection of Christ. The only miracle, the only thing in all four Gospels. Incredible. Jesus, God obviously wanted us to remember this, right? Only one of the Gospels is the lad even mentioned, but we have this food. They're hungry. I'm not going into the whole all detail of it for sake of time, but they're hungry. You say, where? How are we going to feed them? By the way, Jesus says to the disciples, before the miracle, he says, in every gospel, he says, then feed them. Before he tells the disciples we're going to do a miracle, he says to them, feed them. If they're hungry, feed them. The disciples just looking back with that dumb face, with what? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He takes the bread, he takes the loaves, he takes the fishes, and he says, give them eat. So go ahead, disciples, give them to eat. Give them that, okay? Now, you can read it later. It's a gift card for you. You can spend it here somewhere on campus, but that's not the point. Okay. Now, disciples, good? Excellent. Wonderful. Excellent. Y'all, disciples, you still have a few? Okay, go ahead. Give the same. Yeah, go. Good. Good deal. Keep there. That's good. Wonderful. All right, anyone else? Everybody's covered here? Good. Disciples, you still have a few? Go ahead. This is exactly how it was done, right? This is exactly $5 gift card. Everybody doesn't mind getting a little bit of food here and there, right? Everyone good? You folks good? Hey, look at you. Look at the grin on his face. He wasn't even awake earlier. Everyone good? Disciples, still good? You still have more? Go ahead. Give them to eat. Everybody full? By the way, all four, hey, listen. All four times, all four Gospels, They gave, and they were all filled. Everyone got one? What? But this is exactly what most of our churches are doing today. This is what America's doing. You get some? You're a pig. You guys all. Who didn't get? And so the missionaries, hold on, keep quiet. The missionaries are being sent out across the world, and they're just making a barely little difference in the darkness. When our churches, including you and I, have been fed and fed and fed and fed and fed and fed. How many times have we heard the name of Jesus? How many times have we heard that he died for us and that he loves us? But we just keep taking it in and taking it in and taking it in, don't we? And you know something? This is not how it happened, did it? The Bible does say that they were all filled. They all ate and they were filled. But I can promise you one thing, because we know Jesus is no, God's no respecter of persons, right? I can promise you there was nobody who got second and thirds before everyone got first. Right? But this is how we're doing it with the gospel. And so the missionaries, go ahead, disciples, what should we be doing? I know my time's almost done. What should we be doing? Who's been fed? Who's been fed? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? You're going to just keep sitting there? There's a few. There's a few. They're getting the concept. It really wasn't given for them to just keep and keep and keep. They were supposed to be getting it out. Now keep it down, quiet. Quiet. You know what happened just a bit ago? People were raising their hands and they were saying, "Hey, hey, back here! Ha ha ho! Woo! Back here! I didn't get one." You know that's exactly okay. Everyone, go ahead. Stop. Sit down right where you are for sake of time. Listen, hoy. This is what's happening. Now I can promise that there were enough cards given out for everyone to have one. How many of you still don't have one? No, that's okay. Yeah, look, we really missed the top, soul winners. No, now hold on. Stay quiet. Now, it could be that some of you are hanging on to more than you really need. You know, you can't be more than saved once. Amen? What has God given to you? What has he given to you? He wants you to take it somewhere. Don't just keep it. And stop. Let's stop taking it to the same rows. That's what God said to me. He said, you know, you fed the front row enough. You fed the front row enough. You know, I dare say there's very few places in America you could go where if somebody didn't really want to know about Jesus, they could stop at a church. And they may not have all the right standards, but they could probably hear the name of Jesus, couldn't they? They could probably stop at a dollar store and buy a Bible. If they really wanted to. I dare say that there are, and that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus said, hey, I've given to this village. Now I need to get to the next one. I need to get to the next place. And you know what we need? We need a whole bunch of young people, a whole bunch of folks that will say, you know, I wish, and I believe if Pastor Wilkerson were here, I wish he had to beg every staff member to stay because they would say, Pastor, I want to go to missions. I want to go somewhere where they had never heard. I wish he had to beg staff members to say, hold on, don't go just yet. But everyone knows that it could be him. Pastor Wilkerson could go and, you know, that's what happened with our church. I said, church, I'm going.
Because they've never heard. They've never heard. 70,000 people die every day without even hearing the name of Jesus one time. And you know, in conclusion, we had a young man. His name was Elijah. Sorry, going over a couple seconds here. Elijah went with us on a missions trip, went into... Show that. You got it? Yeah. Elijah was 19, right there in the front. Amazing young man. Just finished high school last year. Going to a Christian college. But he went with us on a trip this past summer. Went into the Amazon. We saw thousands of people come to Christ. With Logan. Appreciate Logan helping us. And after he got done with that trip, he was supposed to be going to college this past fall semester. He said, "Aaron, where are you, when are you going back to Africa?" And I said, "I'm going back to Africa in September." He said, "I'll be with you." I said, "Elijah, how are you going to get out of college and go to Africa? You just will have started in August." He said, "I believe it's God's will for me to go. I'll go." Long story short, I may tell you some more about it later, but he ends up going with us to Africa. On the way to the airport, his brother said to him, said, "Elijah, you know Africa's dangerous. You know going back into that jungle, you could get bit by a poisonous snake. You could catch some disease. You could get malaria maybe even and die." And he said to his brother, some of the last words that he said to his family, he said, "But it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it." We came home just this past October from that trip. A week and a half later, Elijah got sick. We took all our malaria medicine. We did everything we needed to do, but he got sick, and that was Sunday night. They took him to the hospital on Monday morning. He was dead. But he said it was worth it. We have but one life to live for Christ. Let's live it for Him. Let's live it for Him. Jim Elliot used to say, "It's easy to preach 10 sermons, but it's hard to live one." You know, college student, you can learn to preach and still not live one good sermon for Christ. You can preach all you want, but if you're not living it, it's good for nothing. Are you going to live for Christ? Are you going to give your all for Him? I've got some of these bracelets if you'd like to have one afterwards. I'll put them in the back. You'd pray for it and ask God, "God, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. You want to go on a trip? Let us know. We'd love to take you and let you see truly with your own eyes what it's like to be in a third world environment, to see people hungry, falling off the branches, wanting to come to Christ. It's the greatest feeling, sight, it's the greatest thing in all the world. But then when they walk to you with tears in their eyes and say, 'But I have family member in a village 6-7 hours deeper into the jungle. When are you going to be back so we can go there?'" And oftentimes, with tears in our eyes, we say, "We don't have time now. We just need more laborers. We need more labor." Would you? You've heard so many great things this week. Would you be a laborer? "Well, if I'm called..." No, you don't need a calling. You've been given a command. I wish I had time to show the video I had from Jim Elliot. You know, we don't need a calling. Jim Elliot said, you heard it, I think, earlier this week. You know what we need? We need a kick in the pants. We don't need a calling. We need a kick in the pants. We need to go. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd get a hold of some hearts, and some hearts would just give you their all. Dear God, we need a stirring. We need a mighty army of young people that say, "I'll go. I'll go.